Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today we're going to be talking about witchcraft and...
politics.
Ooh.
Yes, yes.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Due to some recent events that unfortunately we can't exactly divulge too much about, it's kind of prompted us to take a whack at this, I suppose.
Yeah, personally, I'm a little fired up about... I'm a little fired up about this topic of bringing politics into witchcraft and the pagan community. That's kind of where I'm just going to say it. I'm amped about it. I think I just want to start off by saying I respect everybody's political alignment,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I may not agree with it. But that's what makes America America, is that we all have our different political leanings, and we can be what we want to be, we can think what we want to think, okay? The thing is, we also have free speech, so we can say what we want to say, absolutely, but that does not mean that everyone has to listen to you.
Or that you're immune to repercussions.
Exactly, like
hate
you.
Speech.
Exactly. So I mean, you can stand on your soapbox and say a bunch of political garbage, whatever, hate speech, whatever you want. Yeah, you are well within your right to say it, but we do not have to listen to it. Is basically where I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So other than just this one incident that we were kind of recently came up. But I'm finding this a lot overall in
mm-hmm.
the witch and pagan community. This also really does overlap with the queer community too. And I understand politics being involved in the queer community because politics, I mean, it drives a lot of why the queer community is what it is. It's very politically driven because
but we've had to be
right. But for the witchcraft community, I don't know if that, or the witch and pagan community, I'm just going to use them kind of interchangeably, because, no, you don't have to be pagan to be a witch, but I'm talking about these two groups. What was I getting at? Basically, what I was thinking is, like, you don't have to have your, like, we don't have to be political. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to be. In order to be a witch, you do not have to worry about the government. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, to practice witchcraft in your own personal time, your own personal space, you do not need the permission of the government. You do not need... You know, it's not like we're going to clinics and getting our candles. We're not going to, you know, government-funded places to get our witchcraft supplies.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's us, it's nature, it's the powers that be, that's it, no government involved. Now, in terms of religious freedom and things like that, that's where it can get a little political and tricky, but I'm just saying, in order to be a witch, being a witch is not a political statement. And I know there are people that will disagree with me on that. But being a... I'm saying this. This is not reflective of Scott's opinion. I am saying that being a witch does not... It is not a political stance.
Okay.
Okay.
I hear you.
So that's what I'm going to open. I'm going to open with that.
It's funny because...
Being a witch or being a pagan is not a political stance. Okay. I'm done.
I would probably say maybe being pagan isn't for me. But, it's funny. Here it is.
Lay it on.
You can be as involved, whether witch, pagan, Christian, Muslim, whatever you may be, you can be as involved or as not involved in politics as you choose to be.
Independent of your faith.
Yes. Right. You could choose, and you could choose to make that as political or not as political as you want to.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I agree to people's choices. However, I don't necessarily put my witchcraft with my politics, but I do see how witchcraft, at least for me, is intrinsically political. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read an article by Matt Aaron, and you know he discussed some really interesting points. He discussed, you know, when the second people were burned at the stake and hung in accusation of witchcraft became political. The second, you know, when it became about hunting females and hunting women, and even trans feminine identifying folks, when it became about hunting them and harming them because of just their femininity or their feminine whatevers, wiles or feminine qualities, whatever, you know, it became political. Witchcraft has always kind of been the home of the pariah. It's always been the home of the black sheep, mm-hmm. and the outcast. Witchcraft has embedded within its folklore a history also of, like, anti-ableism, of, like, it was believed in certain places that witches were born sickly because you were half dead and half alive.
Yeah, that's true.
So
if you had, like, a deformity.
Deformities were seen, right, exactly. I would say that witchcraft has always, you know, another thing, too, is that witches have always put themselves into politics. Many witches, throughout the span of at least European history.
Sun in darkness.
I know, that's so
the
weird.
Sun. Is that your light switch?
Yeah.
You want to flip that on? There we go.
Many witches have put themselves in politics, you know, cursing kings, mm-hmm. working with kings and queens, working with groups of people, villages, hunter-gathering tribes, etc., shamans, medicine men. You know, those things were political. We were the politicians back in the day, pre-Christianity. And whether witch or not, but magic mm-hmm. workers in general were political. I have a quote here from a book that is actually all about this. It's called Apocalyptic Witchcraft by Peter Gray. I unfortunately have not yet read it. I do want to. It's written sort of like poetry, but it's like a manifesto.
It's kind of cool.
I would like to read that with you one day. But anyway, one of the quotes from the book that I really like, it goes like this. Witchcraft is the recourse of the dispossessed, the powerless, the hungry, and the abused. It gives heart and tongue to stones and trees. It wears the rough skin of beasts. It turns on civilization that knows the price of everything and the value of nothing.
You know, it's really interesting that he talks about, like, you know, basically the lesser people, like, the people that have less being drawn to witchcraft, because it's so interesting, because there's definitely, at least in modern times, and I feel like even maybe a little bit in history, that the wealthy were often seen dabbling in those things.
Right, and you know what a lot of people don't know, and this I only learned about this in the last 2 or 3 years, is that the history of, like, the Inquisition, like, pre-Inquisition, believe it or not, they pretty much left alone cunning folk and traditional healers.
Really?
They were like, the priests would kind of be like, oh, maybe not go to them, maybe. I mean, like, you're gonna maybe, but don't really. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of like,
because they weren't as easy to take.
It just, the relationship was very different. Things did not start out, you know, Europe did not start out as, you know, a big cloud. It just didn't suddenly become a big cloud of witches' smoke, to quote Hanna-Barbera movie. it didn't start out that way. It was actually a very gradual process that became the Inquisition.
Well, yeah, because it was the rise of one religion and sort of like the, stamping out the other.
Right, so the new one had to grow
in
order to actually be able to do it. Right.
Yeah.
So while it was growing, it was just kind of trying to distance.
It's actually funny. There's this new show on Netflix called Disenchantment. Have you seen ads for it? Matt Groening.
My boyfriend was watching it, yes, the other day.
It was kind of funny because it, like, it's a cartoon in complete fantasy. Like, I'm not trying to say it's okay. This is accurate. But it was, like, they were just, like, taking all these different things from all these different religions, and, like, the nun, priestess, whatever she was, looked really gothic, and, like, someone in the show, it was, like, really meta about itself. Like, someone in the show made a comment, like, we're still figuring this religion out. Like, it made me, like, because it was, like, a blend of, like, witchcraft and, like, Christianity and, like, hardcore Catholicism, and, like, it was really funny because I was like, oh my god, you know what, it probably was like that at one point.
Interesting.
Like, it was probably similar to that.
Interestingly enough, the parallel that I could draw to that is, I mean, and this in and of itself is very political because it shows, once again, like you said, about the disparities between wealth.
Yeah.
Because the people who were actually harmed in the Inquisition were not rich, were not studied men. You see, universities used to basically be like Hogwarts.
They were easy to...
Right. See, universities, like real universities, when they first came about, they were teaching courses on astrology, ceremonial Christian magic, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Those men were not touched by the Inquisition.
No.
Because they were the learned men. They had money.
Mm-hmm.
It was the poor people who were practicing indigenous religions who were harmed.
They were easier to, you know, cart away and stamp out.
Right. Now, like in France, for instance, there was a whole village in France. Men, women, children, and I actually think I remember reading, like, animals were all burned.
Just to erase them.
Because the priests came in and they thought everybody was either possessed by witches or was a witch, or they thought the animals were demons. Like, they wiped out an entire village in France.
Okay. You have more to say on that?
I think it's really just about... I think what I'm... All I'm trying to get at is that... I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm the most political... Like, I don't really know much about politics. The jargon is a little confusing for me.
You know what pisses you off, though.
I know.
And you
know
what makes you happy.
I know what's right and wrong, and I know what makes me happy. Right. And... at its core, I believe that witchcraft should be there to stand against oppression, should be there as a pushback.
As a tool.
Right. As an entity that which is involved in pushing back against oppression and systemic harm. But I do believe that in a way, to kind of, I guess, not devil's advocate really, but kind of agree with you. I do believe it's a choice that you can make. It's not something that you have to do, but I do believe that...
Yeah, you can choose to combine the two.
Right. But I do believe that witchcraft in and of its... Like, witchcraft as a whole is political, but it's a facet of sorcery and that you are allowed to choose. But that's, like anything in witchcraft, you know, we're heavy on it's your choice.
Right.
You choose your life, you choose your path, you choose your fate, your destiny. You choose your destiny. I don't know if you choose your fate.
It's a little...
Yeah. You choose your destiny.
Hello, the fates.
You choose your destiny. And, yeah. So, is witchcraft political for me? Yes. Am
for
I
you.
Always... Is it for... In general, yes. For me, I'm not a hardcore activist, but I am one of those people who, like... If I see injustice, like, out on the street...
You'll say something.
I'm going to... It's funny, because you know me, I'm not a very... I don't like confrontation, I'm anxious, whatever. But the thing with me is that I start to get really upset when I'm in an environment...
Yeah,
of,
very
of,
visibly upset.
Yeah. So at that point, it kind of becomes... like, I have to. It has to come out, or... I'm not going to be okay, and it's not going to sit right. Like, because then I'm going to walk away from that, and I'm going to be really upset, and I'm going to really be mad at myself for not saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've had moments where, you know, I'm ready. Like, you know, like I remember one time in the situation, I was in Center City, and some guy said something incredibly Islamophobic to an Islamic family. And, I mean, they shut him down very quickly. And generally speaking, you should let the oppressed person have the first voice. Like, they should be kind of you're there to support them because you're there to bolster them.
Right, yeah.
But it should be them first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they shut it down very quickly. The man walked away. It really wasn't
yeah.
a big issue, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And they seemed very much okay. And I smiled at them, and they smiled back, and it was okay. But I was ready. You know what I'm saying? And that
yeah.
for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So is my witchcraft political? Yes. Does it have to be? No.
Right. So I think that's where I'm kind of at, is I feel like, As I grow as a witch, as a pagan, as I grow within both of these communities, I find myself falling into a more public view.
Yeah, me and you are definitely winding our way
yeah.
to...
Which is fine. I'm not saying I'm trying to become witch famous, but, you know, if it happens, hey, whatever. You can find me on Twitter.
No,
but
I really am trying to become witch famous. I'm not even lying.
My destiny. No, I mean, like, I have opinions and I have thoughts and I want to talk about them.
That's what it
and
is.
And I'm also involved in, like, Pagan Pride Day and stuff like that. So.
And I will be next year.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I find myself entering a more public sphere and I'm encountering a lot of people who are very politically charged in their practice. And I'm just curious if, because I think sometimes as witches, we struggle a bit. Sometimes I feel like we hold too much on to our past and our history, but at the same time, our past and our history are full of such a wealth of knowledge.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, no, like, I guess, like, you know, you take something as simple as, like, I'm sure there are some witches out there who are 100% purists in the sense of, like, no, you gotta make your own candles. How dare you buy them from a store? You know what I mean? Honey, it's the 21st century.
I haven't seen that yet, but
candle.
It probably exists.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you're out there. If you're out there, bless, I will buy your handmade candles.
Teach me.
Or teach me how to make candles. That sounds, ooh, that'd be fun.
In particular, if they're hand-dipped candles, because that's, I'm really into that.
But yeah, so there's that. So, you know, I'm sure, like, there's different levels of witchcraft, but I'm just saying, I think we hold on to our past too much. So, like, you were saying in the past, witches, cunning folk, people of magic power, whatever, they were in the political sphere.
Mm-hmm.
They were part of that. This is going to sound horrible.
Go ahead.
Do we belong there now?
If you ask me, yes.
Like... Because I'm speaking from an American perspective, technically, I know this is never put into practice, but technically, there is separation of church and state.
Witchcraft isn't a religion.
Is it, though? I think it is legally a religion.
Wicca. I mean, they acknowledge Wicca as a religion.
They acknowledge Wicca?
But
I want to double check that fact, but I think it's witchcraft in general. I'm not sure.
I haven't
But the point... is that as people of a particular practice, do we belong in the political sphere? Like, okay, so you are a witch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean that you have a right to sit next to the mayor and dictate what happens to the city?
I mean, as a citizen, I do have the right to dictate what happens.
No. I'm saying as a citizen, but I'm just saying, like, as a witch, do you have a right to be on whatever board or committee?
I mean, well, I get where you're going. Times have changed, and obviously we're not, you know, doing divination for, you know, the president anymore and deciding, you know, when to go to war and when not. And I feel that, and I actually like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
because that's very easy, it's very easily corruptible. Because there are witches out there who are full of shit.
You're right.
They're absolutely full of shit.
You know, it's kind of like
yeah, they may have a following and they have status, but having a following and status does not indicate power. It does not indicate
strength. Yeah, that's true. But I really agree here with that quote I read. Witchcraft is the recourse to the dispossessed, the powerless, the hungry, and the abused. I really do, and I think that's because of my experience. because of what witchcraft did for me. It kept me alive. It kept me from killing myself. I'm gonna not to be dark, not to be broody, but it kept me alive for years without actually getting, you know, having a therapist, without ever being able to finally make the calling and get help up until, you know, this year. And for me, that represents that.
Right.
It represents that struggle. It represents the struggle of people who are harmed by a tyrannical government like what we're in right now.
But there are witches on the other side. There are witches in support of the, you call it a tyrannical government, they call it the best goddamn thing ever.
But the thing is that opinion, see, there's opinion.
But then it's a question of who is the, so like witchcraft is of the oppressed, who's the oppressed?
The problem is that we know who the oppressed is. We know who they are because we could see it.
Because
the thing is that just because those people on the other side have, they, you can have an opinion, it doesn't make you right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
But, and of course, I know that, you know, the thought would be to aim that back.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that you know that, we know for, like, pretty much a sociological fact that there are certain disparities between, like, you know, white, cis, het, well-off people.
Men
in particular, but women too, sometimes. And a lot, and marginalized people. So, like, when those people who are normally, if you ever realize, those witches tend to be well-off. Now, maybe not rich, but
they tend to not struggle financially.
Right. They're in a two-income household.
Mm.
So the general, most of them,
usually
I've
no
always
kids.
Realized, no, right, I
usually
realize they don't
kids.
Have kids. They're in a very privileged situation. So it's easy for them to kind of want to follow that herd of people, that mind of people who's kind of like, oh, you know, you're only poor because you don't work hard enough. No, my mother can work circles around them, and she's almost 50 something. Kill me for saying that.
Yeah.
But
50.
Sorry. She's, yeah. She'll work circles around half of them fucking bitches. But, like, I was trying not to curse, but I can't help it.
Whatever.
You know, it poorness is a systemic problem. It is not the poor people's fault.
I would agree with that,
And if witchcraft can be a tool, as it has been for years, in order to aid us in uplifting ourselves, you know, I know this is weird to quote the Bible in a show about pagan things, but it's a part of the Bible that I really do appreciate.
It's a historical text.
The meek shall inherit the earth.
The meek shall inherit.
And I've always appreciated that quote. I've always seen the Bible as something that's incredibly interpretable anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've always interpreted it that it is those people who believe in an open, loving society who wants to embrace each other with open arms, to experience a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a companionship of humanity, a togetherness of humanity, you know, and I know it all sounds hippy-dippy, but the thing is that we all secretly want that. Even the most pessimistic of us secretly has this desire to see a world where when you bump into someone on the street, instead of getting, oh, fuck you, man, like, watch where you're going.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool, dude, like, not a problem, like,
even people who want this, like, you know, totally crazy, like, racially pure world, like, let's just say, like, a world full of white people or something, even people who are nuts enough to think like that, they still want peace to a point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means being horrible and shitty to everyone else, they still want to achieve peace.
But you
want to
know something, though, and that's a thing, though. Because, like, and this is kind of me being, I guess, nice to people I disagree with. Acutely, a lot of them are uneducated or undereducated.
Yeah.
In one way or another. The thing is that we look at education, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, there are lawyers who are, you know...
Education...
But education can mean a lot of things.
In terms of America, I do not. Okay, just because, okay, you could go K through 12, you know, okay, you got your high school diploma. That does not mean you are educated in, like, yeah, you received an education given to you that was mandated by the American government. It's not the best. If you went to a good school and you got a good education, good on you. Good job. You succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a real education. And I know, like, I use the word real, like, what is real? But no, it's not real life education. Education, you learn the most when you graduate high school.
Yeah.
And you have to enter the working world as
you learn by experience.
Yes,
you learn by doing.
By experience. So that is the education. I think that's what we're talking about when we say education. I'm not
right.
saying you know how to do your math and,
experience,
you know,
reading
your words.
And doing.
Yes.
Learning.
Interacting with people who are different from you.
Right. Exactly. The experience. Getting cultured. Doing different things. Even going to restaurants. Like real original restaurants of, like, other cultures. Even that's...
My parents just... I'm not ripping on them. I am a little bit. Whatever. They're my parents. I love you. Anyway. I love sushi, right? I love sushi. Let's go to sushi place. We can go to sushi place right now. Right now. So pause this podcast and we'll go right now. But that bothers them. That bothers them. They're like,
mm-hmm.
How could you eat that? It's like, yeah, well, I really want to try an Ethiopian place. Like, that's been on my radar, too.
Yeah,
their stuff's
good.
Really spicy. So like, I
that
can't
sounds
cool
to me.
Sorry.
I'll go.
Yeah,
I mean, I have to be careful too, but I really don't care.
Yeah, but like, I really want to try like Ethiopian food and like, and I had like a African like peanut potato soup, and that was so amazing. Like, I like trying new foods.
Me too.
I love it. I grew up on Hamburger Helper and Rice-A-Roni and overcooked chicken.
I'm so sorry. I grew up in South Philly, so my mom cooked every night. Like,
Bless. You know, like, my mom, she cooked out of necessity to feed the family.
Yeah.
I'm alive, but it was not great. And she'll be the first one to admit. She's like, my cooking is boring, but you're fed. And I'm like, great. Yeah, you're right. But, like, don't give me shit for eating sushi, because
mm-hmm.
it tastes good.
My father does that type of stuff as well. Like, a lot. It's funny how, like, you know, I mean,
like,
I don't
how do you
like,
eat that garbage? You just had a McDonald's cheeseburger. How do you eat that garbage?
Right.
I eat that garbage too sometimes. I shouldn't, but.
I actually don't, because it gives me stomach aches. I'm very
good.
But, you know, like, recently, I don't even know. I may have talked about this already. I don't really care. I'll tell you it again. I went to an amazing Chinese food restaurant called Han Dynasty here in University City.
Yeah. Was
and
it expensive?
More so, yeah. It was, I mean, is it...
Are we trying to go there after this episode?
I would love... I was actually thinking about, for my next birthday, wanting a birthday there.
Yeah.
This place is traditional Chinese food. Like, Chinese food, not like...
Not like American
Not American Chinese food. They serve in traditional Chinese style, which is family style. Everything is served in large portions. You get a blank plate, like there's a plate, and you serve yourself.
Ooh.
You put what you want on your plate.
That's nice.
And you generally should order a couple of things.
Yeah.
And that's how
that's
you
really
eat.
Cool.
And it's an amazing place. The food is... Oh, my God. I've never... It was... I've never had an eating experience like that, eating out. I've never been wowed in that way. It's food, it tastes good in other places, but this wowed me.
We got a little off topic.
Sorry, sorry.
But, it kind of goes into politics and, like, accepting different cultures and stuff. So, I'm going to bring this back a little bit to politics. I'm going to bring it back to... So, okay, I think we can establish that we both agree... So, okay... You say that being a witch is inherently political, given our history. If you
mm-hmm.
trace our history, our lineage, our roots, whatever.
Also, I mean, even now, people...
Okay.
The experience of people who are being called to be political, it says something.
Okay.
There are hundreds... Look at whether you agreed with it or not, because even witches who don't like the current
mm-hmm.
government didn't always necessarily support... what I'm about to bring up, but the binding and the cursing of Trump and his constituents.
Oh, yeah, because there was all those witches who got together and... Or not got
that
together,
was,
but they collectively
that
focused
was
their energy.
A couple thousand people all over the world. that we could track.
So, I mean, it's, I guess I'll just say this. It's no secret. I do not like Trump. I don't support him. I didn't vote for him.
Oh, no, neither one
of us. Okay, it's not a secret here. So, when I saw that they were doing that, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that's super cool. But, like, for all those people to focus that energy, I'm curious if he's got people in his corner, like, bouncing it back.
I'm
or
really...
Or protecting him
I
or
mean,
something.
It's funny because, you know, you know I work off of a very strong spirit model of witchcraft. Without the spirits, you know, I probably would think that witchcraft probably wouldn't work, or at least not as well. But I wonder sometimes if the spirits are there. Like for instance, like, how do I put this? Kind of like a right and wrong situation. Mm-hmm. Kind of like... the other side knows he's fucking up and leading us into extreme danger.
Mm-hmm.
So why would the spirits let their people be put in danger by the hands of someone that they can't, or someone that's trying to control and dominate?
Right.
You get what I'm trying to get at here?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder sometimes, like, for instance, like, a lot of the authors that I mentioned Matt Aaron a lot. I just really respect his writing. He wrote a status on Facebook at some point, and he made a really good point. Look at what's happening right now. Look at the decline. You know, we have, you know, now we have, what's his name, and getting indicted. He pled guilty, you know, and it basically, I agree with Matt. It is working. But, you know, the thing is that I think we want...
It's working. It's not taking the face of the problem. It's taking the people out from under him, I guess.
Which is what a lot of people thought was best. Of people felt that was the
but
best
then
situation.
I don't want to make this into a political fuck Trump episode. I really don't want to, because our opinions are our opinions. Your opinions can vary, that's fine.
I feel as though the people that are going to watch our show...
Probably the majority of our viewers is probably like, yeah, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make it that, but, you know, I'm just, it's almost like, and I reference the cartoon movie Hercules a lot, because there's just so much good symbolism in that movie, plus it's a great movie. When he's fighting the Hydra, and he keeps cutting the heads off, and then more heads keep growing.
Coming back.
That's my only concern with taking out the people under him, is that they're just going to be replaced with another... problematic person that he will appoint or his people will appoint, and then it's just a run in a circle.
I think it's more of a matter of, like, after, like, once one head gets cut off, the good thing is that we get to, like, kind of run interception.
Yeah, maybe it's like once one head gets cut off, the other heads get confused for a minute, and they're like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah.
And then
the good thing is that seems to be what they're doing right now.
Scrambling.
Yeah, well, it gives the investigators a chance to go further in and investigate deeper and deeper and deeper.
Awesome.
And it keeps falling down like dominoes. So it kind of maybe isn't necessarily a head regenerative thing, at least
maybe.
Not yet. It seems
so,
like it's falling.
I guess really what I want to ask here is, alright, so I believe that being a witch is not inherently political. Scott believes that being a witch is inherently political. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we differ on our opinion there, which is totally fine. But I can understand your point, and you can understand my point.
I can.
So, when is there a point in, say you're involved in a pagan group, not necessarily a coven, just like a group,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, witches of Philly witches, whatever. You're involved in a group, and you're partnering with another group, or allying with another group, or whatever the case is, when is it okay to put your politics in, and when is it, like, how much is too much? Where is the line?
Yeah, okay, so here we're definitely going to agree.
Yeah.
If the situation in and of itself is not a political situation, if it's not a political
like a craft
event...
Fair.
Right, you don't need to bring in politics to a craft fair.
Right.
You don't need to bring in politics to Pagan Pride Day. Things like that. It is an event for the community to come together to talk about our religion, to talk about similar religions, to talk about magic and sorcery and grimoires and spells and potions and herbal healing and
witch shit.
Everything that we do. Right. Right. It is not, you know, and yeah. So there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
And
now if it was like a rally, right?
Right.
If it was like a rally, like witches against Trump or witches there, for Trump.
There's an organization here in Philadelphia, which is basically it's a witches against.
Yeah, witches against.
The whatever. They invited me. They followed me on Instagram, and they invited me. They found me on Facebook and added me to their page, which I didn't mind at all. I actually am very interested. It's just social anxiety continuously blocked me from going to one of their meetings.
I want to go.
I'll go
with you.
Okay.
I'll go with you, baby.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Just also to meet other witches, too.
Yeah.
But for a common goal, that's pretty cool. But I know what that group's for. That group says this is a political organization of witches.
Right. We are political. Okay, great. Put that in your thing. You know what I mean? We are political. We are... Maybe state your leaning. You know,
right.
I mean?
Like,
we are a conservative group. We are a liberal group. We are a centrist group. We are whatever the hell we are.
So, like, going there, I know what to expect. I know that I could be talking about stuff like that.
And you know
this.
You're
going to
find like-minded people. So, like, you know that you could walk in there and be like, I don't like Donald Trump. And most people would be like, same. Exactly.
However, when you're going to an event that doesn't have to do with politics, and if, don't get me wrong, everybody, you have a right to defend yourself, at least in my opinion. Like, if someone at an event starts with you aggressively about your politics, for whatever reason they start...
Like, we're vendors at an event, right? And, like, I'm talking to, you know, my person here, just talking to them at a normal conversation level, being like, yeah, I really like Trump's policy, and blah, 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 blah. For you to jump in and be like, hey, fuck you, blah, 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 would be just not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that would be not okay because we're talking at a level, we're talking about things that we're talking about. It does not involve you. You know what I mean? And there's no need for that political discourse to happen on that kind of level. But you can have political discourse, like... person to person, I don't feel like that's
well. You're allowed
too
to.
Bad.
I mean, that's
nothing preachy, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you're talking to someone you know and you're at an event, I mean, you could talk. People talk at festivals; it's what they're for.
Because it's free speech. You can't control what people say,
right? And nor should you.
Exactly.
I mean, if
that's
somebody, I'm sure, like,
point.
I'm sure somebody while going through the vendors, you know, at Pagan Pride Day this weekend, will whoever it may be will have a conversation about politics while they're walking.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's okay.
It could be something as simple as, like, local politics. Like, oh, did you know that they're opening a new sanitation site? I don't even know if that's a thing. But you know what I mean? Did you hear about the new recycling program? That's political. It's a political
discussion.
Right, and it could
be, like, but they're allowed to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah.
But I think to go... To be, I think another thing that bothers me a lot is people that will attend an event, they'll have a booth, they'll have a thing there, and they go there under the guise of not being a political thing, but they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like, doth you protest too much? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I am apolitical. Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. Or, fuck Trump. Or whatever position you're on. It's just, don't try and infiltrate. I guess is what I'm saying. Don't try and infiltrate. I think it's shitty. It's like shitty on a witch level. It's shitty on a human level. It's just shitty. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Save it for the political... Save it for a political space where that discourse is supposed to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of, like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's almost like, could you imagine, like, someone, like, rolls up to Pagan Pride, right? And, like, I'm a candle maker. And then, like, they roll the blanket off their thing and it's, like, MAGA hats. It's like, No. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then that puts the organizers in a position that they don't want to be in. They want you to sell your wares. They want you to have a good time. Mm-hmm. They want you to feel comfortable at the event. But you said you were selling candles, not MAGA hats.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it, like you said, it really comes down to time and a place for everything. It doesn't need to, you don't, not everything has to, sometimes life is about living.
Not everything is about politics. I think that's another thing. Not everything has to be. Sometimes you can just enjoy where you're at.
Enjoy, well, yeah, enjoy life. Exactly. Just live. Just because I think, you know what, like, did you know that therapists have seen an increase in
anxiety, depression.
Anxiety and depression.
I believe it.
Just due to the election alone.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, no, don't get me wrong, their feelings are valid. I'm not invalidating, you know, their particular experience. And I mean, it's funny. I really am not as sympathetic to the other side as you. I'm really not. Just because certain things that have been done, I just don't have the energy and the empathy for that anymore. But
I think I'm just personally at a point, like, it is what it is.
Man, I don't want to be there. I mean, I'm too scared to be there. For me, it's okay that you are.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's different. It's like, I have this theory, and I've said this theory to you before. This is going to sound crazy. It's my political theory. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very far out. I have a feeling that if you were to sit down with Trump, have coffee with him or whatever, right? And we're just to ask him, like, dude, what is your deal? I think he would just laugh and say, I am running the best con this country has ever seen. I think that's what it would be. That's my headcanon.
I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I joked about exactly that when this first started.
Yeah.
My mom said it too. She's
like, no way he's not going
to. My mom said, and I mean, me and my mom used to joke about it. We said that he was sitting around with a bunch of his billionaire buddies.
Wouldn't
in
it be
room,
funny if I ran for
drink,
president?
Yep. And my mom used to say that all the time. All of this is a giant joke, and what ended up happening was it went out. He didn't think he'd win.
It went out of control.
Mm-hmm. And he actually, right.
And that's where I kind of just have to laugh. I mean, Donald Trump is our president. Okay. You kind of have to laugh about it, you know? It's almost, I'm pretty sure some people are like
I wish I could.
When, like, Ronald Reagan was elected.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like Ronald Reagan's our president? Or Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. You gotta laugh.
Yeah.
You gotta laugh about it for, at least a second and be like, okay, wow, that's a
thing. I mean, it, I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
But when it first happened, I cried for 48 hours.
I wasn't happy.
I was terrified.
I didn't vote for him. He wasn't my guy.
I was terrified. I was terrified of what that meant. And everything of what I thought it meant is exactly what's happening.
That's true. I mean, a lot of predictions did come true. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't want this to turn into a fuck Trump episode, but it's just a little hard because both of our opinions of him are the same. We don't like him.
Right.
That's just, like, to sum that up.
But it is interesting just because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you are
more tolerant.
I was going to say, I mean, you seem a little more centrist than I am.
I don't really even know what centrist actually means. I'm going to be 100% real with you there.
Okay,
right. I always say that I'm liberal because I'm mostly about, like, do what you fucking want as long as you don't hurt anybody in the process.
You just, okay. So you're just.
I think I'm just tolerant. Like, who is it? Thomas Paine? Is that who it is? That historical quote, I can't remember who it is. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. I forget Voltaire. I have no idea. I'll look it up and I'll put it in the comments because I'm sure I sound like a really uneducated American right now. The show notes. But yeah, that's kind of my political moral compass. I don't have to agree with it. You have every right to say it. I also don't have to listen to you, though.
I like pictures on Instagram that says punch Nazis. So you can imagine where I go.
See, I'm very opposite. I think that meant it. Like, I see punch a Nazi, and I'm like, why are we punching people now? You know what I mean? Like, I get to that point. I get very exasperated because both sides are very just... And I'm like, listen, we don't have to punch people. Also, I mean, like, just because someone voted for Trump does not make them a Nazi. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's like, I don't necessarily agree with it.
I know, but I...
It's almost like saying all white people are racist because they're white. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's a slippery slope. My point is this. If you want to involve politics in your witchcraft, by all means, go ahead. But when it really, really starts to upset people and cause division and make people feel unsafe in an environment, in a collective environment,
right,
then I think you need to dial it back, maybe extract the politics, and approach it from another angle or in another space where maybe it's more appropriate. I personally can have political discussions with people without wanting to punch them in the face for the most part.
I don't need to punch them. I don't.
Like, I'm pretty much okay. Like, I could probably talk to, like, a diehard conservative whatever, and I'd be fine.
Oh, no.
I'd be fine. You're a little different. You're a little more emotionally charged. So I think we just need to maybe find a way to have better discussions.
I think we could use us almost as, like, a good model.
Realistically,
I want to be real with you guys. Jay and I had a little bit of a disagreement about this about a month ago.
Yeah, we were a little hot.
And the thing is that we're still friends.
Yeah.
I still care.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, nothing changed. What I'm trying to simply get at is this. Jay and I agree on some things with this, and then we differ on others. But I think that the point of the matter is learning how to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how, like, instead of me, you know, going all, like, you know, punch Nazis, you know, instead of doing that with Jay, just kind of be, like, laugh about it, kind of be real. But you don't have to, don't not be yourself, but maybe learn... Know the person you're talking to in the sense of where, you know, the kind of attitude and the tone of your voice can do a lot for a conversation.
Yeah, and being accusatory is generally not the
you
best
don't,
way.
Yeah, don't, like, especially if you're trying not to, don't set out, okay, that's another thing, and this is in general, do not set out, for any situation, other political or otherwise, don't set out to have an argument.
Yes, I think, yeah, don't bait people into an argument. Don't bait people. Also, if people are being very, I want to say, like a politician and not really stating what they mean, if people are being very dodgy about committing to what they're saying, especially just on a personal level, do not bait them into saying one thing or another.
Yeah,
that's not okay.
That's also not fair.
It's not fair.
Because they
might not really know.
They might not know.
They
might not even be comfortable with talking about it.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't.
And, you know, this is, okay, I'm about to do the thing that I do where I play devil's advocate. I've had few conversations with people on the far right who have done what I've said about learning how to talk,
mm-hmm.
the tone,
yeah,
you know, where they, don't get me wrong, what they said still made me angry, and what I said still made them frustrated,
right,
but it didn't devolve into an argument, it devolved into let's agree to disagree, and,
yeah,
you know.
Which is generally how most of those conversations go. It doesn't really go anywhere. You learn a little about each
other.
It
doesn't even go there. Normally, you know, it just keeps fighting, and that never gets us anywhere either. So, just don't look for a fight in any situation in life. Look to find peace. Look to find inner peace. Look for self-mastery.
Because honestly, here's my thing. like, as witches and as pagans and even as queer people, and I know we haven't really talked about a lot of, like, the queer aspect in this episode, because being queer is political inherently, and that's just my opinion on it.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of people, it's funny, see, we differ there. I say, stop politicizing my sexuality, so it's funny.
There you go. You know what I mean? Well, just because of shit like marriage, you know what I mean? Like,
For me, they made it political, I did.
I guess. I think, like, as a queer person, you're kind of forced to be political, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think what I'm really getting at is, like, remember, I think it would be really important, especially in the witch community, to remember that you are a witch first, and a political citizen whatever second. I think that would be a really good mindset.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Because, when it really comes down to it, we're all still marginalized as witches. You know, people don't like us. Some people like us. We like us. But other people don't like us.
And we still die in certain countries.
Exactly. And I think it's important just for us as witches to, like, be like, you know what? You may feel this way politically, and you and I may feel this way politically, but we're both witches. And we both work with the same energies and the same powers. And we are part of the same communities. And we do the same workings for the same reasons.
Right. And to use this to memento mori, one day you will die. And what I'm trying to make a point by that is just simply saying is that upon the day that you return to the earth, when you are back to dust or sludge if you get embalmed, and then dirt, sludge, whatever, dust, afterward, or ash if you get cremated, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, when you go back to the earth, That's when you know.
Nothing political matters.
Yeah, you're the only thing you'll have left is witchcraft. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's left is your power.
Right.
Yeah, and you become one of the spirits. You become one of the ancestors.
Yeah, the mighty dead. So, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Memento mori, one day you will die. The only thing you carry with you is your witchcraft.
Exactly. A witch first, and I think that's just important for everyone to remember, and I think I'd like to wrap it up there. I think that's really
sounds good to me.
Alright, so we will see you guys in the next episode. There's a bunch of new social media links. We've got a Reddit. It's all going to be in the show notes, and you'll see it there. See you next time.
Bye.
Hello
everyone, Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.